some short but powerful truths and commands, applications. Most of the epistles of the Apostle Paul start with some great doctrinal dissertations in the first half of the book. And in 1 Thessalonians, of course, we have a lot of teaching about the return of the Lord. And then near the end of his epistles, then he gets into some real practical teaching, application. And that's the section we're in. And we're in verse number 19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within them. He is a person. Lord Jesus, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Didn't say it. Said he. He. And the Holy Spirit is a person, third person of the Godhead. You have a personal relationship with him. And in this particular verse, it says, quench not the Spirit. Now, this command, quench not the Spirit, it has the picture of putting out a fire. It's like throwing water on a fire. That's what the picture is. Throwing water on a fire. And, you know, we can think of how that's used figuratively. You know, someone is elaborating on some great idea that they have and some great plan, and then someone says something and they just threw water on the whole thing, right? That whole big plan was all over. They just squelched. We use the word squelch, don't we? Squelched everything. Well, this isn't the word squelch, but it is the word quench. And it's talking about putting out the fire. Putting out the fire. And you know, the Holy Spirit is oftentimes spoken of as a fire. And we are to not put out the fire. Now this can, this is not only personal, but this is, if I can say this word, corporeal. Is that right? Did I say it right? It can refer to a church. A body of a church or a group of people, Christian people, who are joined together to do something for God. It's a very real situation that can take place in a Christian's life or in a church. So he says to the church, don't quench the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to do something. The Holy Spirit is doing something. The Holy Spirit is moving. Holy Spirit is convicting. The Holy Spirit is drawing people to Christ. And says, don't quench it. Don't throw fire. Don't put water on the fire. Don't stop the fire. And it can be in a person's life. The Holy Spirit is working in your life, and you can put the fire out. You can put the fire out. And it's real. It's not, this isn't a religious make-believe scenario. This is a very real reality of Christianity. Now, as you think about it, I think there's some illustrations in the Bible. Turn with me to Numbers 14. Now, it's possible, I think it's probable, but in Sunday school hour, we're going to be talking about, usually we talk about doctrinal things and practical things, but this time we're going to speak about some devotional spiritual truths for a number. We can talk about the lessons, spiritual lessons of the wilderness wanderings. And there's some great lessons of Israel going up out of Egypt and wandering and being in the wilderness, et cetera, et cetera. But a big picture here is they're released from Egypt, and they went to Mount Sinai. God gave them the law so that they would have the truth of God as they went into the promised land. And so everything, God was doing everything to prepare them to go into the promised land. He'd led them across the wilderness, taught them all these great lessons of faith, and gave them the law, and the tabernacle was built. And now they come to Kadesh Barnea. And you know, it just could have taken a couple days to go from Egypt into Canaan. You know that. It was just a couple days' journey. But they're on the road almost 2 years, and they're on the, God's brought them to Kadesh Barnea, and sent out the 12 spies, and 12 spies. The whole purpose was to show them that the land was exactly what God said, a land flowing with milk and honey. And that this is a land that God was going to give them, and that every place they put their foot upon, they were going to get. But, so, they're, God's leading them up to this point. Everything is planned. Everything's going in that direction. And they send out the 12 spies. And guess what? There was 10 spies that gave a evil report. Caleb said, let's go do it. And the evil men who gave an evil report, in verse 31 says, we be not able to go up against this people. We can't do it, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Wow. Wow. You can just see the water being poured on the fire. Everything that God had intended. Everything that God had done to bring the people to this place, to bring, make them ready to go into the land. These 10 spies just throw the water right on the fire. And the people murmur. And everything was done. It's over. The heart of the people has been stolen, and they've lost their faith. And God says, okay, that's it. That's it. They aren't going to obey me. That's it. God's spirit was quenched, wasn't it? God's spirit was quenched. Those selfish, self-centered, weak leaders, those 10 spies, they weren't thinking anything about the Spirit of God, were they? They weren't thinking one thing about the Spirit of God. But they sure quenched the Spirit of God, didn't they? They put the fire on it. And that was very, very real. I think of these were words that quenched the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I find that the people of God, it's much easier for someone to quench the Spirit than for someone to fan the fire. That's what I find. You know, I think of such major events in the physical history of our church. And I remember when I found this property. You know, I found this property. And big, long story. But at that point, kind of important man in the church, I don't know about that. We ought to think about that property down at the corner. You know, that place where it's got the nice swamp down there, you know. And I ought to think about that plant, that property. And you know, it was like totally oblivious to what God was doing. Totally oblivious. I remember when the Lord allowed us to get the offer on the Mission House property. And some misguided member said, you'll never get a cemetery. Made sure other people heard it. There'll never be a cemetery there. Well, you know, putting water on the fire. You know, it takes great faith to go forward. And you don't need someone throwing water on the fire. But that's certainly what the 10 spies did. And this is, this has to do with, the people of God. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. I don't know. Maybe in the church of Thessalonica, all these people were grieving about their loved ones who had died, and the Apostle Paul says, "Why are you grieving? You know, at the rapture, they're going to be raised. You know, and you just wonder what kind of effect that had. I don't know, but you know, you think of Achan, boy." They came into Jericho, marched around Jericho, you know, and every day they marched around on it, and then they marched around seven times, blew the trumpet, whoa, the walls fell down. A miracle. I mean, that's a pretty big miracle. But you know what? There's somebody thinking about themselves. Or even thinking about God. Wasn't thinking about what pleased God. Wasn't thinking about God, what God was trying to do. Achan. And he touched the cursed thing. You know, it was called the cursed thing because the booty of Jericho was the first fruits. And who does the tithe belong to? God. And God says, after Jericho, you can take all the gold and silver you want as you conquer these kings. Obviously, God is going to get his portion. But it's Jericho, all of it goes to God. But you know, Achan, he couldn't grasp, you know, he couldn't grasp God. He couldn't grasp the will of God. He couldn't grasp the moving of God. He couldn't grasp the spirit of God. He couldn't grasp the fact that God is a real being and he has a will and he has a desire and he has a plan. He couldn't grasp that. And stuck right in it was his will. I'm going to get what I want. Forget about God. Think about his plan. And, you know, that's how the devil always works. The devil, you know, look in the Bible, how many times the devil worked on personal greed? Worked with Judas. You know, many times. Works on personal greed. And here is Achan. Takes the Babylonian garment, takes the silver, takes the precious metal, and hides it in his tent. As though somehow God wouldn't see him. God saw him. Not only did the fire get quenched, but the people of God went out and they were defeated in the next battle, weren't they? Because the fire, the Spirit of God was quenched. You know, do you have a sense as a church member of what God is trying to do? Do you have a sense of what God wants to do? Is that what you think about? You know, what God wants to do? You think about what, how God wants to move in a service? Now, every once in a while, you'll have somebody and they should know better. And, you know, God wants to save souls, doesn't he? God wants to convict people of their need. And, you know, might be inadvertently whoever. But, you know, a person just acts like they are, you know, this is a ridiculous and you're boring me. And what an effect upon God. Think that grieves the Spirit of God? I think that definitely grieves the Spirit of God. Typically, people who grieve the Spirit of God could care less. Think the 10 spies cared if they grieved God? Did they care if they quenched the Spirit? What do you think? They didn't care. But it's real. It's real. Now, this is also personal. We can quench the Spirit. So many ways that we could quench, we could squelch what God wants to do. And we can squelch the spiritual working of God. We can, you know, we could take away the spiritual atmosphere around us or even in us. We will quench the Spirit of God. Someone says anything that will tend to dampen the ardor of piety, that will chill our feelings, to render us cold and lifeless in the service of God, is to quench the Spirit. That which, instead of cultivating godliness and cultivating the Spirit, a person does the opposite. That's quenching the Spirit. You know, it can be so subtle. You know, think about, does it matter to God This is very practical. Does it matter to God? Now, if you're a Christian, you can identify what I'm saying. Does it matter to God if you say, you know, I'm going to spend some extra time reading the Bible. I'm going to spend some extra time reading the Bible. Does that matter to God? You know what? It does matter to God. It matters a lot. You know, you're kind of fanning the Holy Spirit. When you say, you know what? You know, I think I just want to get closer to the Lord. I'm going to turn on, you know, the new a CD, and I'm just going to listen to those great hymns. And I just want to, you know, think about the Lord. Think that matters to God? Yeah, you know what? That matters to God. You know, you say, you know, tonight I'm just going to spend some extra time in prayer. I'm going to spend some extra time in prayer. And you look to the Lord and say, now, Lord, who do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to pray about? You know what? That matters to God. You know, God is real. God is real. You know, that's cultivating. That's like, we say, you know, say sick 'em to a dog. Well, when you cultivate spiritual things, you're just fanning the fire of the Spirit of God. He loves it. God loves that. That's real. But what about the opposite? What about the opposite? I don't want to read my Bible. What about the opposite? You know, too much of a pain. Too much of a pain to go to prayer meeting. Too much of a pain to spend extra time in prayer. Oh, you know, hey, take that track, put that track in. Forget it. Oh, really? Does it matter to God? You know, little things can either stir the Spirit of God and His working in our life, or it can quench the Spirit. It can quench the Spirit. You know, what if that site pops up on the internet and you click it? What did you just do to the Holy Spirit? What did you just do? Whatever the Spirit of God was trying to do in your life, and maybe He was moving in your life, and whatever, the devil knows all about it. Over. It's over. The Spirit of God has been quenched. It's real. It's very real. Now, as I think of this whole idea of quench not the Spirit, I think of the picture of God is moving. He is working. He is doing something positive. We stop it just on a dime. Whether it's by a willful act, like the ten spies' words. Yeah. All it takes is the wrong negative words, right? And whatever God's trying to do, boom, it's over. And in our lives, you know, it could even, it's so real. I don't know who said this, but worldliness, levity, ambition, pride, the love of dress or indulgence, an improper train of thought. Any of those things can quench the Spirit. People, I remember some people laughing at me, quoting John, I think it's, I can't remember his name, John Christensen, or, who wrote a book about the family. I used to quote that pretty often. But it's really a kind of rehash of a book written in the 1800s. And that author, when Christianity used to be more godly than it was, he says, fashion drives away the Spirit of God. Fashion drives away the Spirit of God. You know, a lot of people, they don't even have a clue as to what you're talking about. Because they never had a close enough relationship to the Lord and to the Spirit of God to know that that kind of stuff just grieves the Holy Spirit. It quenches him. And it drives him away. That's what it's talking about. Now, obviously, the opposite is true as well. The opposite is true. Isaiah 44. Now I realize that this is a millennial statement, but it's all right. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Yeah, it's physical, but it's also it's speaking of a spiritual truth. Isaiah 44:3, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Hmm. 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift of God. you know, there is such a thing as adding to the fire. There is such a thing as stirring the flame. There is such a thing as pleasing the Spirit of God. There is such a thing as allowing the Spirit of God to do his work. I've described the way that God works often as a person has a cup. And the Holy Spirit is working on that person. But you know, it's kind of like here's a cup and here's another cup. You kind of picture of a fountain, you know what I mean? The first cup has to get filled, And when it overflows, now the second cup can be filled. And you know, the Spirit of God has to have His freedom in our life so that when He has His way in our life, now He can flow to the next person. And that's how it works. If this person that the Spirit of God is working on resists, oftentimes the next person doesn't get acted upon. Because there's always a process. You know what I'm saying? There's also always a process. He starts with somebody. And you know, typically he likes to start, you know, depends, doesn't, you don't, who knows who he starts with? You know, I remember John Christensen. He got saved. And boy, I remember the first time he visited the church. We were meeting in the house, and we just had started meeting in the house, and we were still working on it. And we could only get so much done, you know, on a Saturday. And so we had the chairs positioned, and the chairs, some chairs were positioned perfectly over an old hole in the floor where there used to be a register. Remember that, Lena? Okay. And I remember John Christensen had gotten saved, and they were going to the Catholic Church, and they came for the first time to McGonigal Baptist. And this is the funny part of the story. And guess where they sat? He sat right in that chair that was positioned right over that former register. And that chair, all had to do is move a couple inches, and boom, you know. I was thinking, oh, boy. But, praise the Lord, it didn't happen, and he came back. But I remember not too many weeks later, number of weeks later, as they had been coming to church, he started witnessing to his dad and to his brothers, and they were going to Milwaukee Baptist Church. They hadn't gotten saved yet. And I remember the Sunday night, I can still remember where John was seated on the window side of the old auditorium at the house. And he made a decision that night, big one. I don't remember what it was, big decision. Might have been to get baptized, join church. I'm not sure what decision was. He made that decision. And almost simultaneously, as he made that decision, his father at Milwaukee Baptist Church went forward to get saved. Yeah. He let God work in his life. And it flowed right up to his father. And as I understand it, if he would have said no to the Spirit of God, his dad probably would have too. You know, there's that, quench not the Spirit. We have to understand that's how God works. And young person, you can make that decision for God. And guess what? The pressure that was on you is going to go to the next person. And they're going to feel the pressure. And you know what? They need to submit too. And then if they submit, then the pressure can go on the next person. And maybe that next person is on their way to hell, and they need to get saved. But it won't touch them unless that Christian will submit to God. That's how it works. Unless that Christian submits to God, it may be that that other person who's on their way to hell will never sense the convicting of the Spirit of God. And that's all a part of that great truth in the Bible. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. And anybody who's been in revival, real revival, knows that the Spirit of God has freedom to continue to work as people allow Him to work. But sometimes there's someone that stops it right there. And the Spirit of God no longer has freedom. Now, a church can do that. A church can stop the Holy Spirit. A person in a church can stop the Holy Spirit. We can stop the Holy Spirit working in our own life, right? And as you think of the new year, think of, okay, instead of quenching the Spirit, how can I please the Spirit? How can I please the Spirit? What are the things in my life that maybe this last year I've come to a place where I just have real gradually kind of, you know, instead of obeying the Spirit of God, have just come to a place that I don't listen to Him anymore. And now, of course, grieving and the Holy Spirit and quenching are many times related. And quenching is usually some specific thing that, boom, you just know it. You lost the power of the Holy Spirit. You lost the power. And it's not going to come back instantaneously. You lost the power of the Spirit of God. And so, a very simple truth. Fan the flame of a personal God. Fan the flame. Please the Spirit of God. Be aware of the Spirit of God. As a church member, are you aware of the Holy Spirit? Are you aware of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do? When you walk in the church building, are you in that frame of mind that you can sense the Holy Spirit? You can sense if He's pleased. You can sense that He's seeking to do something. He is doing something. You know, that's what I call spirituality. In being able to sense what the Spirit of God is doing. And as a believer, your spirit is affected by that very reality. You sense people allowing God to work. And you sense the Spirit of God moving. On the other hand, you may sense that, wow. You know, that's a little thing, but the devil got the victory. Devil got the victory. Somebody made decision. It was an earthly decision about not really caring about what God's doing, and it kind of stifled the work of the Spirit of God. But you know, when everybody, and it's very rare, do you realize that? It's almost unheard of. When you have a group of people, church members that are spiritually minded, that are aware of the Spirit of God, and they are contributing to the work of the Spirit of God. That's what a church is all about. That's what a church is all about. in my thinking, that's the kind of church. Someone walks in the door and they hear the message and they are immediately under conviction. And they hear the gospel and they want to get saved. Amen? That ought to be our vision for our church. And I tell the story of Stoughton Baptist Church. My first year at Maranatha Baptist Bible College was January of 1970. That spring, we passed out flyers at Stoughton for their annual parade, you know. And Maranatha had a float in the parade, and we passed out tracts. I heard about Stoughton Baptist Church. It had just been started in 1968 or whatever. And the story was, don't go to Stoughton Baptist Church. Even if you're just going to go to be critical, it's not going to work. Because you're going to go there and you're going to get saved. Because the Spirit of God was so powerful, powerfully working in that church at that time, that it was very difficult for people to resist the Spirit of God. Wow. That's what a church is supposed to be like. Amen. So when it says quench not the Spirit, it's just three words, but it's big. It's big. And I trust that this has helped us in our daily awareness of our walk with God. Lord, pray that you would use the Word of God tonight. I pray that we would recognize that the Spirit of God is real. He works in our life. He lives in our life. There is a real relationship we have with you. And Lord, we can quench you. And Lord, if we are honest, we can point to that moment that we just sense the Spirit of God, not personally, he didn't leave, but his power was cut off. We feel powerless because we quench the Spirit. And Lord, we know it's true in a church. And a true church member, responsible church member, Lord, they come, we have to make sure we aren't thinking about ourselves and lost into our own lusts and centered around our own lives. But Lord, that we're really conscious of that you want to work in a church. And every member adds to the power. Every member in our own lives, our private life, adds to the power, or it can zap the power. Even though nobody knows about it, but your Holy Spirit knows about it. And it's real. The Spirit of God can be quenched. Because you know everything, Lord. And Lord, so help us to be conscious of you. And Lord, use your word in our lives. As we think of maybe areas that we've quenched the Spirit of God in the power of the Spirit of God has left our lives. Lord, help us to be honest and get back to that place where we're listening to you, we're obeying you, we're allowing you to work in our life. Lord, might you be glorified in these truths. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe God is speaking to your heart tonight. Maybe you're here, maybe you're listening to live stream. And the devil can be defeated when God's people think about what the Spirit of God wants to do. And tonight the Spirit of God is working in your life. Maybe there's some areas where you've quenched the Spirit, And you know the power is gone. Maybe you don't even know why the power is gone. But God is speaking to your heart tonight. And the Spirit of God has put some things on your soul. Maybe the Spirit of God is just speaking to you about the fact that you've been so conscious of just yourself and selfishness that you don't even think about the very will of the Spirit of God and how He wants to be free to work, even in our church assembly. But the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to grieve the Spirit. I want to please the Spirit of God. God has spoken to your heart in a specific way. Obviously, should have spoken to all of us in a general way. But in a specific way, you say, God spoke to my heart in a specific thing, specific area of my life. And I don't want to quench the Spirit of God. I'm going to say yes to God, that He can be free to work in and through my life and in my part as being a part of this church. And God has spoken to your heart. Say, Pastor, pray with me tonight. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Perhaps you're here tonight and you don't know what we're talking about because you don't have the Holy Spirit. Religion is kind of a just an institution. It's a thing. It's a bunch of stuff. No, it's a person. Jesus Christ and God. And it's knowing Him personally. It's real. And just the lack of that real relationship with God would point to you that you have not been born again, but you need to be. And you want to be saved tonight. God is speaking to your heart. Anyone here tonight, just say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anyone here? Okay, I see that little hand. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? Okay, good. All right. Okay, I see that hand as well. Another one. Okay, amen. Amen. Little children, where are their soul? Lord, work in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Simple truth, but real. Oh, Lord, might tonight be a great night of liberty for the Spirit of God to work. And to do a work that will continue and become bigger and bigger and more real and spreading right in our church. Might, Lord, it be a gateway tonight of that living blessing and relationship with the Holy Spirit in a personal life. We pray for little children that your Spirit would be free to convict them. And maybe it's mom and dad need to allow you to work so you can work in the children. Maybe it's a brother or sister. Maybe it's another church member. But, Lord, pray for these children that need to be saved. Lord, we want it to be real. Lord, they have to really see themselves as sinners. They have to see, Lord, they don't want to be what they are. And, Lord, that only Jesus can save them. Lord, work in hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.